I'm nervous. Yesterday was so bad.
We've never done a show and thrown it away.
Yeah.
We did that yesterday.
So we were going to record a show on the poll results, but we figured we'd just put the whole 100 online and you can see it there.
It got a little weird to just play little bits of so many things when the list was so long, and it felt like we played a lot of those songs before. But you know what was cool about doing the poll, at least for me, was the discovery process. The blog was full of like all these great suggestions. There were things that wound up on the top 20 and 30 that I hadn't even listened to. I didn't pay any attention to the Leaky Lee record this year. It came out like right around the time of South by Southwest. I missed it completely. So I went, that was one of the ones, I think it was like number 28 or whatever. But you can find all the results from the best of the year so far poll that we did that you probably participated in. I find that on our blog, npr.org/allsongsblog is one way to get there. We'll have a link on the page that this show is on. So I'd like to play and start the show off with a Leaky Lee cut.
Great.
The Leaky Lee cut is from an album called Wounded Rhymes. A song I'll play is Get Some, is what it's called. It's got great rhythm. She spent a lot of time listening to sounds of Alan Lomax. It's a field recordings and so forth. Watched lots of old films from the 60s and 70s and did it in L.A. instead of her native Sweden. So she went out of her way to try to make a very different record. And I love the feel of this record. Hypnotic, psychotic, and more primal. That's what she says that she felt like she came up with this record.
Oh, that was so cool. So cool. I definitely missed that one, and we'll have to...
Came out in February.
Man. Dig that one out of the poll results and spend some more time with that one. Absolutely.
Leaky Lee.
I want to play Tanarawin. This is the group from northern Mali, the Sahara Desert region in Africa. This is a group that's been around a long time, I think since about 1979, the late 70s or so, but it's only been in the last 10 years that they've really started getting a lot of attention outside of Africa. And I have very fond memory of seeing this group live at Bonnaroo last year. Do you remember that?
That's
it was a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It had been brutally hot all weekend long and loud. I mean, it was great, but Sunday morning you were just ready for a release, and this band took the stage. And I thought it seemed odd to have them on so early, but it ended up being perfect.
Yeah, it was hypnotic, as they are. They're one of the world music bands that when I see a record of theirs come in, right away, I throw it in and I listen to it.
And they've got a great one coming out. It's not out until August 30th. It's called Tasili, but we've got an early cut from it. Now I want to play. It's called Imidiwan Matanam. And what would you call this, Bob? Is this desert rock, African blues? What would you call Tanarawin?
Yeah, it's totally trance rock. You know, sometimes the guitar player plays three notes over and over and over again the entire time. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the lead.
Well, let's give a listen. This is Tanarawin from their album, Tasili.
Indiwan matinam dawa wadagan hazama Nerede entastinam entadagwam tuyam tiklam
Diwan madinam dawa wadawan hasim
Diriride zastinam nanta lawan tuyam tiklam
سمتني ريد انت استنى من تدومت ويوم تقلم
You know, their music always, Tin Arwin's music always implies a sort of psychedelic feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken it a little further. They've sort of taken it there. Mm-hmm. A lot more effects on the guitar.
Really tasteful, too,
yeah.
Though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Very, it's just so finessed. Beautiful, yeah. Tin Arwin.
Exciting. Very cool. I'd like to do something that I wouldn't have ever put these two things together. This is Patti Smith doing Buddy Holly.
Yeah. Absolutely. How did the two come together?
There's a tribute record that's out now, and on this tribute record, this one tries to stretch the Buddy Holly simple songs into something a little mysterious, sometimes a little out of the normal genre of Buddy Holly. So Patti Smith took Words of Love and slowed it way down. She sings in Spanish on some of this. You know, Buddy Holly married this woman, Maria Elena. Great first date. Receptionist at his music publishing company. He asks the woman out. She'd never been on a date before. Has to ask her aunt for permission on her first date. 5 hours into it, he asks her to marry him.
Get out.
No kidding. So Maria Elena, to this day, holds the copyrights to his music and so forth.
Wow.
Amazing. So Patti Smith sings some in Spanish in tribute, I think.
So she's on
Maria
the
Elena.
Whole record, or is this
no.
a bunch of different artists?
Yeah, this is Patti Smith is one of the artists. We have the Black Keys are on it. Paul McCartney's on it. CeeLo Green is on it. Justin Townes Earle.
Wow.
My Morning Jacket, Modest Mouse, Lou Reed. It's really worth it. And we have a first listen on it. So if you're curious about it, go to npr.org/first listen and find this now, because it'll be only for a week. Can we listen to this very moody version of Words of Love? Words of Love is a song that I first heard from the Beatles. I didn't hear the original Buddy Holly version until later.
Palabras de amor. Is real. Words of love, you whisper soft and true. Darling, I love you. Thank you.
That was just lovely. You know, even though she slowed it way down, it was such an unmistakable Buddy Holly melody, right? Yeah. I just thought, wow, this sounds, that is just totally a Buddy Holly melody. You can hear it in there.
Thinking about first dates. I just, you know, he gave her a rose, uh-huh. You know, sweet as can be. You've had first dates as sweet as that, right?
Well, I was just thinking while we were playing the song, one I had in high school. It was a date with the head cheerleader, so it was a really big date for me.
He dated a cheerleader. Yeah. All these years, you've held that.
I thought, wow, this is a big-time date for me. And yeah. I get to the house, and her mother answers the door and says, spring is in the air.
The little and Robin has flown in.
And I'm just mortified, of course. But then we ended up going to a movie, and, you know, where I grew up, everything...
You may not want to get into all the detail here.
Everything was at least a half hour away from where I grew up, and so we had to drive to another town to see the movie, and afterwards, my car broke down. It wouldn't start. The only way to get it started was to bang on this part that was underneath the car, so I had to get out a hammer and crawl under the car, and she's sitting in there as I'm going, kung, 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 trying to get the car to start. Yeah, I wonder if she remembers it that way.
Are you out there? Her name? First name?
Absolutely not. But I want to play, if we're talking about dates and couples and duos, I want to play a new song from one of my favorite duos, Mates of State.
Oh, yeah.
Just one of the most joyous bands making music today that I can actually listen to and really enjoy. This is a married duo, Corey Gardner. She plays keyboards, and her husband, Jason Hamill, he's the drummer. They've been together since the late 90s. They met in a town where I went to school, Lawrence, Kansas.
Oh, wow.
And in September, they're going to release their sixth studio album of all original material.
And we haven't cut this early, huh?
And we've got to cut this early. It's not going to come out until September 13th. I've got an early cut. The album is called Mount...
You said album.
I did not. I even put the tongue on the roof of my mouth for...
Folks... Can we have a vote here? Did he say album or album? Album, if you said album, raise your hand.
The record isn't out until... The record's called Mountaintops, and this song is Palomino.
You know you're not it.
super infectious, super catchy, poppy music. What's not to love?
I got one too. I got a catchy one.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I got... You're still playing.
That's Mates of State, Palomino from the record Mountaintops out September 13th.
We talked a little about on our show when we did sort of the best of the year so far. We talked about lots of duos, boy-girl duos. Mm-hmm. Most of them are boyfriend-girlfriend, but not all. In that case, husband-wife. What I'm going to do, Eleanor Friedberger is known best for doing records with her brother, Matthew, and they do The Fiery Furnaces. We've featured many times before. They've done, I think, a record a year since 2003. They've done 9 albums together. I think we put a very first thing on our show maybe back in 2004. Their EP and then Blueberry Boat was a record that I really loved. And as they progressed over time, they got a little more convoluted, a little more harder.
A lot less accessible, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I was reading an article about Eleanor Friedberger because she's got a new solo record coming out. It comes out July 12th. And she said the way she used to write the stuff would she make a demo and then she'd give it to her brother and then it would turn into this thing. Mm-hmm. And over time, they worked closer and closer together and that demo process vanished. And now she's back on her own. She wanted to do a solo project. There's still a Fiery Furnaces. There will be a new record, but this is just something solo. And she went with GarageBand on her Mac and wrote the songs and then brought it to a band full of people. And perform them. And so all of the songs have that very accessible, funny storytelling. I think that's what gets me about her. It's just her narrative. It's just hilarious and insightful and thoughtful. And God, she's wonderful. So she's got a new record coming out. The record is called Last Summer. So I'd love to play the song for you called My Mistakes and see what you think.
You know I do my best thinking when I'm flying down the bridge. Coming to myself and kicking up my kicks. A jiggling all around, half afraid for my life. I hope I don't crash like that night last summer. I'm back when the bridge was just a wooden path. I'm bouncing around like he said it was 1956.
They were missing from California, and I
Wow, a saxophone at the end? That sort of put me over the top. That was
in a good way?
Yeah, in a good way. Okay, that good, was nothing totally like worked. What I thought that was going to be like. Nothing at all what I thought that was going to sound like.
Excellent. You know, a lot of saxophone's been entering music this year. We lost Clarence Clemons, who really did make rock and roll and saxophone totally work, you know, in the spirit of someone like King Curtis. But I think that worked rather well. Can I play you something really quick? Come around here real quick.
All right. All right.
We got to put this video online, but you see a very old Eleanor Friedberger and a very young one. Mm-hmm. And they match the scenes like she's in her heels, you know, probably 12, 15 years ago, maybe more.
Oh, this is actual footage.
Yeah. Right. And then in walks this guy. And who should that be?
It is a very young Britt Daniel.
Isn't that amazing?
From Spoon. That is amazing.
And he goes to town. That's quite a kiss.
That is some serious making out.
Let's put that online.
What is she saying there then, I wonder? My mistake.
Well, the video is her basically doing the exact same thing 15 years ago. So in some ways, I think what she's saying is, I'm going to learn from my mistake, but she does the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's going on, but tell us.
Well, now I'm getting all nostalgic. I'm seeing this. You're talking about something that happened 15 years ago. We talked about a date I had in high school, and now I'm thinking about the 80s. And
you get all romantic?
I have gassed at length about how much I hate pop music from the 80s. But I'm going to play something that sounds like it's 1984 all over again. The artist is John Mouse. And he's a sort of a synth pop guy. He uses all these vintage instruments from that period, vintage synthesizers and drum machines. And I can't for the life of me figure out how it is that I dislike so much music from that time, but I love this as much as I do. And so I started dissecting it a little bit. And one of the things is, I think, with his music is he's... First of all, he's a really thinky, brainy kind of guy. He's a political philosophy and theory instructor. He's getting his PhD in political science. And his lyrics, which he drowns in so much reverb, you can barely understand a word he's saying.
Yeah, listen to this. It's on the first listen. So
yeah, we've got the whole thing up. And his record is called We Must Be the Pitiless Censors of Ourselves, which I think is a brilliant name. And I couldn't agree more. I will try to do that, censor myself now, and get into the music as quickly as possible. But he tends to write about very weighty subjects, you know, the meaning of life and faith and religion and what's it all about. And in very spare words, all this reverb he puts on the entire mix gives it this sort of dreamy, otherworldly feel. It's not as unnaturally crisp or clean or overproduced as I think a lot of the music sounded back in the mid-80s. And as such, the music, I find, carries me away more than it sort of flogs me, like I felt, you know, 25 years ago with this music.
It sounds like it doesn't sound plastic.
Yeah, but at the same time, he would tell you that he loves those instruments and he loves that plastic sound and believes that there's more going on there than we may be even aware ourselves. But his record, We Must Be the Pitiless Censors of Ourselves, John Mouse, and I want to play the song Believer.
It's not M-O-U-S-E, right? It's
M-A-U-S.
All right. So we have that as a first listen. Our poll results are up online at the All Songs Considered blog. Find out what's number one. Lots of surprises. A bunch of new stuff, but didn't make it to the top. Anyway, it's fun to sift through it, scream about it, jump up and down about it. How could you possibly, dear idiots? Well, this wasn't our poll. I mean, this wasn't our decision. This is your fault. I mean, not yours, Robin Hilton, but...
Yeah, take it up with the listeners.
No, there's a lot of fascinating stuff to wade through. Purpose being, catch up with stuff you never heard of that people who like this show and like NPR music like. So it's worth going and trying to find some new stuff. Good time of the year to do that. The release is slow down now. It's a good time to catch up before August, September hits. This turned out better than the show we threw away. That show will go down in legend.
It was so unbelievably bad.
Yeah.
I'm so glad no one was here to witness it. No. Not even the intern.
No, we didn't.
Intern 92110.
Yeah, we didn't let her in.
Yeah. John Mouse, Believer. And you're going to be a believer after you hear this song.
I'm Bob Boylan, along with Robin Hilton for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.